Well, it's wonderful to be here. I arrived on last Thursday, and I'm catching the red-eye flight out on Sunday evening after preaching there. And I've spoken, I think, about six times so far since Thursday. It's just been a wonderful opportunity. I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 12, just a few verses there. Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can study your word this evening. I thank you for each and everyone that's been able to come tonight. And Lord, we pray that as the word is preached, that your Holy Spirit, Father, would take that word and apply it to each believer's heart here this evening. Lord, encourage us this evening, and Lord, I pray that each of us would be challenged as we study Israel and as we study prophecy, what's going to happen in the future. Lord, with the mind that the future is occurring rapidly, running up towards the rapture, and Father, we pray that you might use us to be everyday evangelists to those that are lost. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to speak to you about the nation of Israel this evening. And as you know, Israel has suffered terribly in the past. And now in recent days in their homeland, the Jewish people have suffered at the hands of godless men from the terrorist organization called Hamas, not to mention the other organizations as well that are attacking Israel. Well, wars are terrible, and in all wars, innocent lives are lost, and we need to be praying both for the Jews and also the citizens of Gaza and in Lebanon, and we need to be thinking of those that are trapped in the false religion of Islam and be praying for them as well as the Jews. I think Israel is now in a similar situation to Nehemiah's day. In Nehemiah's day, Nehemiah was called to repair the defense system of Jerusalem. That was the walls. The walls of the city had been broken down, and Nehemiah and his people had to be prepared to both build and battle for the survival of their people. Now, I know that the Jews are in unbelief at the moment, but they're finding themselves in a very similar situation. Nehemiah 4 verse 6 says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdites heard the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. That's going to happen again. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them. Makes you think about what happened in October a year ago. And cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore said I, in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked up and rose up and said unto the nobles and unto the rulers and unto the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Our prayer should be that Israel remembers the Lord. They need to fight. They need to stand for their nation. but they need to remember the Lord. As you read Israel's history in Nehemiah's day, you're seeing it being played out again in today's news. Many Australians were absolutely appalled to see what happened over a year ago in October. But sadly, there are supporters now in Australia that are supporting Hamas, and that is very sad. You know, if you think about the radical Australian Palestinian demonstrators, do they really believe that they would have peace, the peace that they enjoy here in Australia, if they lived in Gaza, the people now that are residents here, if they lived in Gaza, which is permeated by evil and godless men of Hamas? Would they experience the same wonderful conditions that they experience here in Australia? We need to be praying for the Jews in Israel, and we need to be praying for the Jews here in Australia and around the world. Sadly, many Christians in our Australian churches have not been taught the importance of the Jewish nation. And if the churches aren't being taught of the importance of the Jewish nation, then the general population isn't being taught of the importance of the Jewish nation. Largely, many churches are amillennial in their theology, and so Israel has no part. But if you understand premillennial theology, you know that Israel is separate from the church, and Israel indeed has a future. The church today needs to be reminded of the words of German pastor Martin Niedermayer, who was interned in German concentration camps in World War II until his final release in April 1945. Pastor Martin wrote this: "First they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me." The church needs to be reminded that radical Islamists are not our friends. There's a translated video. It's called MEMRI, that's the Middle Eastern Media Research Institute, and they have a video that's translated on YouTube, and it is also reported in the Jerusalem Post. And the video is from December 2022, and it features a co-founder of Hamas, Mohammed al-Zahar, who also once served as a foreign affairs minister of the Palestinian National Authority. He announced this: "We are not talking about liberating our land alone. The entire 510 million square kilometres of planet Earth will come under a system, their system, where there is no injustice, no oppression, no Zionism, no treacherous Christianity, and no killings and crimes like those being committed against the Palestinians and against the Arabs in all the Arab countries in Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and other countries." We need to be clear that the co-founder of Hamas desires that the whole world be rid of both Judaism and Christianity. Now, I do not label every Muslim a terrorist. There are Muslims here in Australia that are very thankful to be living in our country. We need to love Muslims, and we need to reach out to them with the gospel. But Australia and the Australian church needs to be aware of the threat of Islam, the threat it poses our country. From the Quran, 9 verse 30, "The Jews called Azar a son of God, and the Christians called Christ the son of God. That is a saying from their mouth. In this, They but imitate what the unbelievers of old used to say. He goes on and he says, Allah's curse be on them, how they are deluded away from the truth. I was out on the streets the other week and there was a group of Muslim guys and I gave them some tracks and they had a look at the tracks. And I said to one of them, do you believe in Jesus? My words went something like this. He says, Jesus was a prophet. I said, do the prophets tell the truth? He said, yes. I said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, that was just a seed planted in that Muslim's mind. He had a tract. He didn't throw the tract down. Just a gentle seed planted in his mind. And we need to be ready. We need to be studying so that we can have an answer for every man. We need to have the hope. We need to give them the hope, the reason for the hope that we have within us. And so I believe we need to know a little bit about Islam. So just something like that you could say to them. Because they believe that Jesus is a prophet. Do prophets tell the truth? Yes, according to the Quran. Well, this is what Jesus said. Very simple. I really believe the Lord gave that to me on the spur of the moment. As I talk to that fella. The Quran's writings show that Islam teaches that Jews and Christians are deluded from the truth of Islam. We must remember that our world has benefited enormously, not because of Islam, but because of Christianity and the Jewish nation. And we must never forget that the Jewish nation is chosen as a chosen people by the Lord. Deuteronomy 7 verse 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. How dare Christian churches eliminate the future of the Jewish nation? How dare that Christian pastors don't teach people the word of God, that Israel has a special place in the heart of God. God's eternal purpose is to bless the world through Israel. And we must never forget what the Lord told the woman at the well. In John 4, verse 22, the Lord said, salvation is of the Jews. If you're a Christian, have you thanked the Lord for your salvation? Have you thanked the Lord for the Jewish nation? That because of the Jewish nation, we have been blessed enormously. The whole world has been blessed because of the Jewish nation. Genesis 12, verse 1 again. And now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Because of the Jewish nation, we have seen the light of God. Because of the Jewish nation, we have seen the law of God. Because of the Jewish nation, we have seen the love of God. And because of the Jewish nation, we have seen the Lamb of God. Let's think about those four things there. Because of the Jewish nation, the world has seen the light of God. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Secondly, because of the Jewish nation, the world has seen the law of God. Nations that have embraced God's laws into their constitutions have been truly blessed. Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy, and in Deuteronomy, Moses indicated that the nation of Israel would be truly blessed if they obeyed the laws of God. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all these commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, the church is not Israel, and Australia is not Israel, but here in Australia, we have benefited because of God's laws to the nation of Israel, some of which we have embraced. If you think about the Western world has profited greatly because of the Jewish laws that were given to the nation of Israel. Many people of other countries, including those from Islamic countries, have chosen to immigrate to Australia because of the safety and security that our nation offers them under Australian law. And that has come from our Judeo-Christian heritage. Sadly, though, when nations, Western nations, distance themselves from God's word and God's laws, they soon fall into demise. And we've seen this in our own nation. We're seeing it in America. We're seeing it in England. We're seeing it through Europe. Nations that have been blessed by having God's word and God's laws, nations that have departed from the word of God, we're seeing them crumble before our eyes. In a press release back in 2001 from the US, I'll read this. In a victory for religious freedom, US District Judge Jennifer B. Kaufman ruled today that the government endorsed 10 commandments displayed in local Kentucky schools and courthouses violate the First Amendment and must be removed immediately. Noah Feldman at Bloomberg writes this. Into the 20th century, many public schools started the day with Bible reading and prayer. These practices, ruled unconstitutional in the 1960s and 70s, are part of the American history and tradition, as is their striking down. One really needs to ask if removing the Ten Commandments from courthouses and schools and removing daily Bible readings and prayers in schools, has it really been a help to the USA? Of course not. Has America really prospered since God's word and prayer has been removed? Certainly not. America has declined and continues to decline as other Western nations move away from the book, the Bible, that the Jewish nation blessed us with. Because of the Jewish nation, we have light. Because of the Jewish nation, we have the law. And because of the Jewish nation, we have seen the love of God. Proverbs 8 verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. 1 John 4 verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Isn't it sad in Australia now that there are children that know nothing of the love of God? Christmas time comes and there's all the decorations, and there are kids now that have no idea in Australia who Jesus is. It seems that Halloween, they're trying to make Halloween bigger than Christmas. We're in the shops today and a girl in front of me going down the escalator had bought a Halloween decoration. It was just this huge black spider that she had. They're trying to get the a world obsessed with death and demons and witches. And how sad it is that the world is promoting this and yet they neglect the Lord Jesus. How sad. Because of the Jewish nation, the world has seen the Lamb of God. John the Baptist, the messenger from the Jewish nation to the Jewish nation, when he saw Jesus, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That was when Jesus was being baptized. Let's think about this. Jesus was born in Israel as a Jew. Jesus had a Jewish mother. Jesus had a Jewish stepfather who was Joseph. Jesus was brought to the Jewish temple as a baby. He was reared according to Jewish law. He was raised in a Jewish town. He worked as a Jewish carpenter. He was baptized by a Jewish man called John. As an adult, he regularly attended a Jewish synagogue. He went to the Jewish temple at Jerusalem. He called Jewish men to be his disciples. He ministered to Jewish people. He preached from Jewish texts. He celebrated Jewish feasts. He was pictured in the Jewish Passover. He was the Jewish Messiah. He was condemned by Jewish authorities. He died as a Jewish king outside a Jewish city on a Jewish hill called Calvary. He rose from a Jewish grave, and he'll come again to a Jewish city, Jerusalem, and he'll reign on a Jewish throne. Because of the Jewish nation, the world has seen the light of God. We've seen the law of God. We've seen the love of God. And we have seen the Lamb of God. God chose Israel to be a special people. And God was going to bring and did bring the Messiah through the Jewish nation. God gave the Jewish nation the land. He gave them the law. And he gave them the Lord. Have you ever considered what blessings we have got from the Jewish nation? What material blessings we've got? Let me just read to you a couple of them. Laszlo Biro, a Jew and a newspaper editor, gave the world a new invention in 1938, and it was called, do you know what it was? It was called the ballpoint pen. Albert Einstein, a Jew, discovered the theory of relativity. Dr. Minsky did research leading to the development of insulin. William Kolff came up with the kidney dialysis machine. Dr. Casimir Funk, a Polish Jew, discovered vitamins. Paul M. Zoll, the defibrillator and the cardiac pacemaker. Edward Land discovered instant photography, 1947. Emil Berlinger invented the microphone. Stainless steel, Benno Strauss. TNT, towards the end of World War I, when the war was not going well, Dr. Weizmann came forward with a formula for the most powerful explosive ever discovered at the time, and that was TNT. And his invention greatly assisted the British in the war against the Germans. Colour TV, it was developed by a Jew, Peter Goldmark. Nikola Tesla, the electric generator. The TV remote control was invented by a Jew. The video player was invented by a Jew. Four-wheel disc brakes and fuel injection was invented by Zora Arkas Dontov. Charles Adler was the invention of the first, this one I don't like, he invented the first modern traffic light. And the next one I can't work really well. Sylvan Goldman was the inventor of the supermarket shopping trolley. I still have problems with them. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And in all the and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. The Islamists have been greatly blessed by the Jewish nation. They drive in cars, they watch the TV, they have photography. They have been blessed materially as us by the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation has been a blessing to the world in so many ways. Because of the Jewish nation, we have the Word of God. When the Bible is freely available in a nation, you will find blessing in that nation. When the Bible has influenced a nation, you will find justice in laws, freedom in society, and care for others in need. When the Bible has influenced a nation, you will have worshippers and servants of the living God and his Son, Jesus Christ. When the Bible is suppressed in a nation, you will find injustice, oppression, and turmoil. Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Bible brings light and love to any nation that will embrace it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. One of the greatest blessings to the world that has come from the Jewish nation, indeed, is the Word of God. But by far, the greatest blessing that has come through the Jewish nation is the Son of God. Isaiah the prophet announced that the nation of Israel would have a Messiah who would deal with our problem and the world's problem, the problem of sin. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Lord Jesus Christ died for both Jew and Gentile, and at the present time, the Jewish nation is in unbelief. The majority of Jews still reject Jesus as their Messiah, and they are blind to the gospel. Paul wrote in Romans 11:25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved." Here's a future for Israel. This is talking about the tribulation period. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes." Israel is in great trouble at present, but one day in the future, there's going to be a remnant of the nation that will recognize the Lord Jesus as their Messiah. Zechariah 12, verse 8, "In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem." Think of the anti-Semitism that is happening now amongst many nations around the world. There's hardly any anti-Semitism in Australia until a year ago, but that's spreading around the world. We can see prophecy coming true before our eyes. Zechariah 12, verse 10, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." In the last days, in the tribulation, Israel will be regathered, they'll be regenerated, and they will be restored. And we are instructed in the Bible to pray for Jerusalem. Psalm 122, verse 6, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." We need to be praying for Israel. God calls Israel the apple of his eye. Zechariah 2, verse 7, "Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, and the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that touches you toucheth the apple of his eye." You know, there's only going to be true peace in Jerusalem when the Prince of Peace comes, and that is the Lord Jesus. Isaiah wrote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." We need to be praying for the Jewish nation. I believe also we need to be showing kindness to the Jewish nation. If you see a Jew and you know a Jew, thank them. Say, "Thank you. Through your people, we have the word of God." And you can say, "We believe that through your people, our Messiah came." your Messiah as well. We need to be praying for them. Well, at the moment, we are the witnesses. Before the tribulation happens, you and I and me are called to be witnesses. The next major event on this earth is going to be the rapture of the church, and I'll talk about that in the next talk. And then the Jewish nation becomes the major witness on this earth in the tribulation period. You see, God never leaves himself without a witness. We're his witnesses now, being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, if you know the Lord Jesus as Saviour. But when you're gone, God is going to have a new witness, and it will be the nation of Israel again. Revelation 7 verse 4, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." The Jewish nation is again going to be a witness, and that will happen in the tribulation period. We need to thank God for the Jewish nation. We need to thank God for a Jewish Saviour who died for our sins, who died for their sins, and who died for the sins of the world. And I want to ask you this evening, are you saved? Are you sure of going to heaven when you die? I hope you are. I was preaching out at Wongan Hills the other night, and on the way back, I decided that I would stay at the New Norcia Monastery. I found out they had cheap accommodation, and I'd stayed in the motel near the hotel before at Wongan Hills, and it wasn't very nice at all. And so I decided I would stay there on It was the Thursday night. So I drove back from Wongan Hills after I'd spoken, and I went to the monastery. I'd arranged to be able to get in there, and I had a good night's sleep. It was so quiet. In the morning, it was self-serve breakfast. In the morning, I went to the dining room, and I went to the kitchen, made myself a piece of toast, and then sat in the dining room by myself. It was just so quiet. Eventually, someone came into the kitchen and I looked, and it was a nun. She was in her full habit with her veil. And so I'm sitting this end of the dining room and she sits the other way down the other end of the dining room. That was okay. I don't blame her for that. But I end up walking over to her and said, "Hello, sister. I'm from a Roman Catholic background. That's my book. It's called Traditional Truth. And part of my desire is to reach out to Roman Catholics." So I walked up to her and I made sort of chit-chat, asked her, you know, what she does as a nun and where she's based, and it was really, really good conversation. And I said to her, "Do you mind if I ask you a spiritual question?" The nun was, I'd say, between 55 and 60 years of age. "Can I ask you a spiritual question?" "Yes." She was a bit unsure what I was going to ask her. And I said, "Hey, if you died tonight, would you be sure of going to heaven when you die?" You know what her answer was? "No. I'm a sinner." I said, "Do you know that you can be sure?" And I talked a little bit of Catholic lingo. I said, "St. John writes that we can be sure. And St. John writes in his epistle, 'These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God.'" And then I said, "Oh, salvation." I end up asking her, "Do you mind if I take a seat?" "Yeah, yeah." So me and the nun are sitting at the breakfast table. And I said, when St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so I just shared with her, and I trust the Lord that as the word of God was sown into her life, that that may bear fruit. I said, "I've got something I want you to read." And I went and got them, and I gave her some tracts. I've got plenty of great choice of tracts to give her. But I gave her one, and it's out there, it's not here at the moment. I gave her this one, Are You Sure of Going to Heaven? And I gave her another one called Abandoned, which is out there. And it's the story of a young girl that was dumped on the railway station at 4 years of age by her parents and left there. And the station master found her the next morning and took her off to the convent, where she became an orphan in the convent. And I felt led of the Lord to go and visit this lady one day and show her the good news of the gospel. So I left the nun with those two tracks and I walked away. I saw her as I was packing up. I finally saw her for the last time as I'm packing up, and her name's Sister Amelia, and she was sitting out on the veranda, and I talked to her about John 3:16. I said, I've got a gift for you. Can I give you this, please? And it had John 3:16. And I left Sister Amelia sitting with her model Titanic and the good news of the gospel. We need to be everyday evangelists. We need to be asking the Lord, can you give us open doors? Can you bring people our way? Because we've got the best news ever, that people can have a home in heaven. And because of the Jewish nation, they gave us the Word of God and they gave us the Son of God. And we have great news to tell the world, that we have a Savior who loves us, who went to the cross of Calvary and died for all our sins. And we don't have to work our way to heaven. We just have to trust in the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we could spend this time around your word. And we thank you for the Jewish nation. We thank you for our Jewish Messiah who loved us so much and went to the cross of Calvary for each of us. And I pray, Lord, for anyone here that does not know Jesus as Saviour, even tonight they might realise he paid the redemption price, the full price for all their sins, past, present and future. And Lord, I pray for Sister Amelia. I ask, Lord, as she reads those tracts, as we had that divine appointment, Lord, that you might impress on her heart the simplicity of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.